to be born, to take on a human life, takes on a lot of risks, a lot of things we have to take on faith. We don't know what the future brings, and life doesn't come with a handbook that explains things. We have to figure things out as we go along. There's even the question of whether we're acting on our own or if there's something else is acting through us. Do we really have choices? Do our actions really give results? Is action illusory? There's no guaranteed answer. But it was in response to this risk and this uncertainty that the Buddha taught mundane right view, and especially that first phrase, there is giving. It may sound strange. You say, of course there's giving, but he's saying giving is important. You probably know the story. The Brahmins in those days said, yes, giving is important, but especially if you give to Brahmins. You can imagine after centuries of that, people began to rebel. And there were schools of contemplatives that said there is no giving at all, either because people don't really have any free choice in the matter. So say your parents give you something, your friends give you something, they had no choice, so there's no virtue in the giving. That's what they said. Or else you're just nothing. Other people are nothing. And so anything that's given to something that's nothing doesn't come to anything. So to counteract these forms of wrong view, the Buddha started right view with the phrase, there is giving. The implication being that, one, you do have the choice to give, and two, there is real virtue in it. In fact, if you're going to gain anything in life at all, you first have to give. This is why it's risky. But he's encouraging you to take the risk. And he says, if you take this particular risk, though, it's a safe bet. You're not placing your hope on anyone else who will or will not be able to carry through whatever they promise. You're placing your hope on the fact that your actions do have results and that you do have some control over them and you can learn how to make them skillful. And he says this is a safe bet because even if it turns out that it's not true, you can look at your life as something nobly lived. Because you know instinctively inside there are selfish tendencies inside and there are unselfish ones. There are noble ones and ones that are not noble. And so if you bet on the fact that your actions do have results, then you get the good results of the noble actions. And if it turns out that they don't give results, at least you know that you've acted on skillful intentions. Look at the Buddha himself. He put so much on the line. He gambled so much. He had wealth, he had power, he had all the sensual pleasures you could imagine back in those days. And he realized that kind of life didn't mean anything. As we say today, he who dies with the most toys or she who dies with the most toys still dies. And when you die, the toys don't mean anything. But if you die having acted on the desire to find a true happiness, a happiness that is totally harmless, then even if there's nothing left after death, you've lived a noble life. And that's something you can look back on with pride. After all, you've got this human body, you've got this human mind. And you might as well gamble on the likelihood that you can actually accomplish something with these things. You can be virtuous. You can learn how to bring the mind under control. You can work on that discernment to find what kind of happiness really is harmless, what kind of happiness really is lasting. That's a good use of these things. It's something we have to do for ourselves. So it is a gamble. But as the Buddha said, it's a safe bet. Because after all, if you're going to end up with nothing anyhow, you might as well give it away in a good way. Give it away in terms of what you think is skillful, what you find is actually leading to more and more solid happiness. Because if you just give up and say, well, maybe it's not going to really last, or maybe this is something I can't really trust, it's like you're declaring war on your abilities. The body's bound to suffer. Your mind is bound to suffer. You've got all these good things, but you don't develop them. This body we have, the mind we have, they're like the gold that you hear about in fairy tales. The gremlin gives you the gold. The goblin gives you the gold. But it turns out you try to hoard it, it turns into ashes, it turns into feathers. But if you get the gold and you give it away, it keeps reproducing itself. It keeps finding more and more things that it can do. Come back. So as long as you've got a body, as long as you've got a mind, you might as well give it. Give it to whatever you find is noble, whatever you find is inspiring. And the Buddha offers a noble path. As he says, the noble search is the search for a happiness that doesn't age, doesn't grow ill, doesn't die. Because all our other searches are things that age, grow ill, and die, and our body's going to age, grow ill, and die, so it's really nothing much gained by that. But if you make up your mind, you want to try a noble search. And this is what the Buddha himself did. He said, this is what makes life worth living. Even when he wasn't sure that he was going to have success, he said the fact that he made the effort, the fact that he was willing to give in this way, gave some nobility to his life. It gives meaning to the fact that you've got a body. The body can do things. You've got a mind. The mind can do things. So give them over to some things that are good to do. Because you're going to lose your body, and you're going to lose these feelings and perceptions and fabrications. Even the consciousness of this realm you're going to lose at some point. So why not give these things away in a noble way rather than have them wrenched from your grasp? Or have them wear out because you're not giving them, you're putting them to proper use. So look at what you can do with your life that's noble. Look what you can do with your life that's a good way to give your abilities. And that's what gives meaning to life. It's a question that comes up again and again. What's the meaning of life? It's the meaning of life is the meaning you give to it. And if you decide it has no meaning, you're declaring war on it. You went to all this difficulty to get this human life. So at the very least, put it to good use. Give it to generosity, give it to virtue, give it to concentration and discernment. And in the act of giving, there's a lot of good right there. And we've got the Buddha's promise that it's not empty giving, that the results last for a long, long time, and they lead to higher and higher stages of the practice. That we can decide whether we believe in him or not, but as he points out, it's not a question of believing in him. It's a good thing to believe. Because if you don't believe that there's any use or meaning to your life, then if it turns out there is a use to life, then you've wasted it. And if life doesn't come with it, with a use or a meaning, well, you've given some use and you've given some meaning to it. So you win both ways. That's why the Buddha said it's a safe bet. So think long and hard about that statement, there is giving. and see where it resonates inside you. The Buddha wouldn't teach people who wouldn't listen to that teaching. If you rejected the idea that there was giving, he wasn't interested. Because as many of the Taijans have said, that when you get to the end of the path and you look back at it, you see it's all the same thing clear through. It starts with giving, and it ends with jago bhate nisago mutti nalayo, relinquishing your craving, giving your craving back, letting it go, giving some freedom to your craving. That's an interesting concept, that the craving gets released. In other words, you let go of it and then you're free. You let it have its freedom. In other words, you don't hold on to your cravings, and you don't hold on to your laziness, and you don't hold all of the various forms of craving. It's like the image of fire back in those days. They believed that fire burned because it was clinging to the fuel. But the fact that it was clinging to the fuel not only kept the fuel imprisoned in the flame, but also it devoured the fuel. But at the same time, the fire itself was trapped. When it let go of the fuel, it was freed. So try to find what there is inside yourself that needs to be freed. And that's the way you find freedom, too.